Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America, that our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
Thanks, Greg. Kirby, there's an FT report that for the past decade, millions of U.S. military emails containing highly sensitive information have been misdirected to Mali due to a typo with .ml instead of .mil. A Dutch tech entrepreneur who's been managing the country domain has been warning about this for the past decade, and control over that domain returns to the Malian government on Monday. They're a Russian ally. So what is the administration doing to deal with this issue and prevent our sensitive military data from potentially falling into the hands of a Russian ally? And how is this allowed to go unaddressed for the past decade despite warnings?
I would first point you to our colleagues at the Department of Defense. This is really more for them to speak to, but as I understand it, they have now for quite some time have in place a tool that stops outbound emails that don't have the .mil at the end from going. There's not a huge amount that they can do for people sending emails into the .mil domain from outside. For instance, if you're working on your home computer and you're sending a document to your work account or something like that, which actually you shouldn't be working on official stuff at home anyway, but they have done training of DoD employees, as I understand it, to warn them about that practice. But when it's inbound to a .mil address without MIL, there's not a lot that the Pentagon can do to stop that. But they're obviously been mindful of this for quite some time and have been, again, working on outbound fixes and working on training for any problems.
They have no idea. We just don't know how this happened. It's so crazy. We just have no idea how, you know, any of this stuff happened. No clue. Not a clue. Welcome to the program. That's how we're starting out today. They have one job. They have one job. I mean, it's crazy because this story, if you didn't see this, a little common typo sent a ton of military emails to an ally of Russia. Welcome to the show. That's how we're starting. That's how we're starting Tuesday. Hi, guys. I know, I'm so excited. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the program, and you can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. How do I forget this every time? Every time I forget this. All right. So first and foremost here, the military emails. This is a pretty big deal. It's a common how is it a common typo? You have one job. You think that this would be something, you know, that you really wouldn't have a lot of issue with. But, you know, I digress. Millions upon millions of these emails intended for Pentagon employees inadvertently sent to email accounts in Mali over the last decade because of typos. The similarity of the military email address and the domain for the country in West Africa. It was a Dutch technologist who discovered the problem. Now, they said sometimes it was sensitive information like hotel, really movements of where they were going. I mean, it's kind of little, like senior military personnel, if they were staying in hotels, that was all revealed in here. The emails were intended for the .mil, that's U.S. military, but because of typos, they were sent to the .ml, and that's Mali. Financial Times had the story and this Dutch internet entrepreneur received the emails because his company was contracted to manage that domain. And so he said he's been raising, now here's the kicker, since 2013, he has been raising this issue with U.S. officials, including raising this issue with people in the U.S. embassy. And that was in 2013. I mean, you're a special kind of stupid to have it go on for this long. The department has blocked its email accounts from email. I mean, do you really have to sit here and stop and tell these people now, look, guys, when we send out emails, we need to be very careful that they're going here and not here. Apparently, they said it was all personal. I mean, it's just, it's troubling. And if there were millions, I'm really curious as to, you know, exactly what's the scope of everything that went over there. That's going to be a long time investigation. But how in the world? It's just recklessness. And this was in 2013. So this even predates Trump. And so it was even happening when he was in the White House. That's how big and ridiculous the whole government, the idea of this big government that we've grown over the past several decades, that's how big it's gotten. We don't even know when something like this happens. It takes a Dutch entrepreneur who's managing the Mali account to actually see it. There was a whole bunch of U.S. Special Operations Command emails publicly available online for like a couple of weeks in February because of an IT misconfiguration. I feel like at some point it's not mistake after mistake. I mean, at some point it has to, I mean, it's recklessness that seems like it's purposeful. I mean, that's just my take on it. So millions of these directed. Now, here's another story that gets into the recklessness and just overall, I think, incompetency of the federal government. Do you guys remember this New York Times story that I had shared with you back, I want to say that it was in March. You guys remember this? It was before the summer. And I had sent it out to email subscribers. And it was a New York Times story that was tracking all of these kids who had been illegally brought over the border by family members, coyotes, etc., right? And they arrived in you know, there are record numbers there. I mean, you're talking, I mean, an insane amount of kids, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids. And the New York Times, every now and then, you know, they do actual journalism. And that's what they did here. And they got into how all of these kids who were in the country illegally, and a lot of them were actually brought, you know, against their will. They didn't really want to come over because they didn't know anybody who was over here. They, you know, they were concerned, they were upset, they were scared. You know, understandably, their families were left back on the other side of the border. And so they were brought over, and then a lot of them ended up in like child labor situations. And the New York Times was investigating this. And one of the other issues that they found is that a 100,000 of them or so of these kids went missing. They just couldn't even find them. So this New York Times story gets into Xavier Becerra and Health and Human Services, which had been overseeing the Office of Refugee Resettlement. And that's the agency, the government agency that gets into resettling people who come here illegally, etc. So New York Times is investigating this. They've been talking to all these third-party contractors that were working with this office. And what they found from these third-party contractors, and there's a development to this, which is why I'm reminding you what the story was. So New York Times, they're interviewing these third-party contractors that have been working with Health and Human Services with this issue of relocating and tracking these kids who have been in the country illegally. And all of these people started blasting Xavier Becerra, right? One of Biden's top guys, former AG of California, Health and Human Services Secretary. And they were blasting him because he had abused his staff and was blasting his own staff because they were not processing and discharging fast enough the kids who were brought over here illegally. And it's important to note, these weren't like 19-year-olds who were crossing the border illegally. These were like 10-year-olds who were brought over by coyotes illegally. So there's a little bit of a difference there. And the article does get into the differences in that and then talks about how there are some young adults that try to masquerade as kids. But they said, no, these are like actually under 18s. Like you can see that they look under 18. And they were saying that all of these third-party government contractors that had been working with Office of Refugee Settlement had been pushed by Becerra to process these kids and dump them out as fast as possible. And this is where that Henry Ford quote comes in. Because Becerra was on a Zoom call and he blasted everybody. We played it. He blasted everybody for not processing them fast enough. And he said that Henry Ford would have been ashamed because this should be like an assembly line. And these third-party contractors were telling the New York Times, they actually ended their contracts with the government, wouldn't work with the government anymore because they were so concerned. They said that they had lost contact, they said, with like a third of the ones who came in, and there was like 100,000, almost 100,000 kids that they couldn't even track anymore. They said that there were some suspicious things popping up. Like they said 20-something thousand kids deposited in one particular area. They said like, you know, a couple hundred here, a couple hundred. They said they were all high concentrations of kids that were dropped off. They said one area where they were dropping kids off, was like thousands in Florida. There was like thousands in Alabama. They said that up in the Northeast, there was one place where they were dropping kids off that they were really worried was a trafficking ring. And nobody at Health and Human Services, Becerra, did nothing. Now get this. This comes from Border Security and Texas Department of Family. And this is Family and Child Protective Services. So it came out that there were several hundred minors in Texas DFPS's care. They went missing. Quotes, missing. And the ones that were recovered, it found out that they had been sold into sex trafficking. We're talking little kids. We're not talking 19 and 18-year-olds, which is still horrible. We're talking children. They said the ones that were recovered, DFPS records report that 790 children and youth remained missing. Those numbers cover 2019-2022 fiscal years. They said that there was one CPS staffer in Houston that encouraged a 14-year-old girl in their care to prostitute herself. She had to make money to send back to pay off coyote bills. So if you can't get a job in a factory as child labor, you might as well prostitute yourself. Unbelievable. These are some of the kids that the Biden Health and Human Services, that Office of Refugee Settlement, they literally helped create child sex trafficking. They increased it. Because when they were processing, and the New York Times noted in this piece, when they were processing these kids through, they didn't care where they went. They didn't even vet them. One of the women who wanted to remain anonymous because she was worried about some kind of penalty, and I got more on that, by the way. She said she was nervous. She told the New York Times she was very nervous because, you know, they weren't even allowed. They weren't given the time to properly vet where they were sending these kids. Now, a friend of mine who writes over at Red State, this is where it gets even crazier. So I had written about this piece, right? I tweeted this last night. I was reminding everyone of the New York Times. Jennifer Van Laar is a really well-respected journalist. She's over at Red State. She was told a few years ago to not write critically of Xavier Becerra. She said that he had cartel adjacent ties, or he has ties from cartel adjacent people. And it was someone who worked literally in ICE with cartel issues. And they said, you should be careful with that. Is that not unbelievable? Is this why this doesn't get wider coverage? Because this guy's a thug. So we got the Biden administration literally being the new Epstein. We got a lot more to discuss. That's just the tip of the iceberg today. We're going to get into Leah Thomas coming out as an Antifa super soldier. I'm not joking. We got some 2024 stuff. There's a couple seats in trouble. Democrats are panicking because Biden's campaign numbers bad. His fundraising is like flatline. There's like no, it's what's going on here. We're going to get into all of that as well. As we get moving, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. This is something else that we're going to talk about. But there was a story that came out saying that apparently there's such a thing as sleep inequality. So sleep is racist now. I'm not joking. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. An American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998-8899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998-8899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I thought this was an interesting story. Apparently, they're saying China's boom. They didn't have a boom. If you think that China had a boom, I have like a bridge to sell you. It's turning to a bust. Youth unemployment races to a record high as economy suffers a sharp slowdown. They never had an up because it's a communist country that's made of trash. They have trash government and they have a dictator, commie dictators terrified of a yellow bear. Europeans are becoming poorer, from the Wall Street Journal. They said, remember what we talked about yesterday with population? An aging population that values its free time set the stage for economic stagnation. And then came what? COVID. And then the Ukraine stuff. They said Europeans are facing a new economic reality one they haven't experienced in decades. They're becoming poorer. And that's, they said, Italy's economic development minister convened a crisis meeting in May over prices for pasta because they doubled more than, and they jumped by more than double what the national inflation rate was. And so there's a lot of issues that are happening there. Oh, yeah, it's odd. Sound of Freedom raked in $85 million in 2 weeks. It's the only movie outside of Christmas season to ever see second weekend ticket sales increase over 35%. And it looks like older generations were right. Studies show that joint bank accounts make couples happier. From Not the Beat, it's like a very interesting study. It was a randomly assigned, they had newlywed couples that is, so they just randomly picked these newlywed couples that had joint bank accounts and then separate bank accounts, and they found that the couples who shared finances were happier. They said that it's not because anyone was predisposed to be happier. I think it has to do with communication. It comes down to communication, being able to adequately communicate what you're doing in your marriage. Also, credit card debt is rising in a double-edged sword for the economy. This is something that we saw coming. This has been happening since the pandemic. Rising credit card debt shows American consumers remain confident, but, you know, they said further interest rate hikes going to make servicing that debt harder. Stay with us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the radio program. Dana Lash here with you. And you can, again, stream the show coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast that goes along with the radio program just over at online. You can watch Facebook, YouTube, all the good stuff, DirecTV. So this... talking about a number of different, some of the bigger stories that came out this morning, or actually yesterday evening, the millions of emails that ended up being the, the accidental email. Yeah, So the accidental email that went out to members of the military, we were discussing getting into all of that. We were getting into the, I haven't even talked about the student loan forgiveness. We're going to talk about that as well. But the millions of military email members or emails that went out, I mean, that's kind of a, there's no fix for that. I'm wondering if they're going to have any kind of discussions from John Kirby about, or, you know, any kind of press avail from John Kirby about this. Because normally they're not very, he's not entirely forthright with this stuff. I mean, he's just not really forthright. So we'll see. All right. Frustrating day. I hate doing everything. Honestly, I really do. I'm with you. All right. So this latest here, we're going to get into some of the 2024 stuff. We're going to get into some of the culture that Biden's, the FBI agent who investigated Hunter Biden, confirmed the whistleblower allegations in a testimony, they said, revealing the links to which the DOJ is willing to go. Oh, my gosh. I don't give an absolute F about this anymore. I really don't. There's not going to be any kind of accountability. I have zero motivation to follow any law in my own life right now. None. At all. Because of this kind of stuff. You know, I was talking to I was talking to a friend last night. I understand why people are so aggravated with everything. You know why they're aggravated with everything? They're aggravated with everything because they feel like they've been kicked around for, you know, who knows how long. They've been kicked around by the left. They've been kicked around by government. Understandably, people have little patience. I have little patience anymore. So this, I mean, I have all these headlines about it. What does it matter? I mean, the story on the baggie, we can't even get this rat bastard administration. I said it. I swear to you, if any of you media people quote me, I'm going to print out all your Instagram profiles and your byline. I'm going to let my dog take a deuce on it, and then I'm going to light it on fire. Done. I have, look at all these emails I have, or these headlines I have. Supervisor confirming whistleblower's claim of cover-up in Hunter Biden investigation. Story on the baggie of cocaine continues to change. Has it been destroyed? I mean, there's a million of these headlines. What was the story? Didn't they just find, hold up. Didn't the FBI just found, didn't they just find this like J6, whatever, something like that? Didn't they just find another one of these people that was like parading or was in the crowd outside of the Capitol? How many man hours were used on that? I'm just, how many cameras, all this other stuff were all used on that? I'm wondering. Because they can't find the cocaine, a baggie of cocaine in the White House, but they can sit here and use Starlink, basically, or you know, whatever else, Skylink, to find this. I'm just saying. I feel like that there's an unequal application of everything with all of it. All of these headlines, the FBI agent who investigated, you have these people in these agencies that are blowing the whistle at the expense of their own livelihoods and trying to warn taxpayers, this is what's happening. You have a government that's being weaponized against you. And meanwhile, the people who are actually committing the crimes, they're getting off scot-free. Nothing's happening to them. And they're doing things that are way worse than anything you've ever done. Seems like an issue, right? I mean, how many of these do I have? I have a million of these headlines. How the bombshell testimony from an ex-FBI supervisory agent, special agent, signed to the investigation. They had planned to interview Hunter Biden in California. The Biden transition team and the Secret Service were tipped off that it was going to happen. The day that the Hunter Biden interview, Miranda Devine reported it in New York Post, and there are several other people who reported this. On the day of the Hunter Biden interview, the FBI and IRS agents sitting in a car outside of Hunter's house were told to stand by and not approach him. They had to wait for his call. As a result, they never got to interview him. They said that corroborates, of course it does, it corroborates what came out from the IRS whistleblowers. So this, and it gets into December 7th. The special agent learned that the FBI had notified Secret Service about the planned interview, et cetera, et cetera. Went on. They were tipped off. But remember, Trump's people weren't tipped off about Carter Page. They weren't tipped off about anybody, were they? So why should people expect to have a fair shake with anything government at all? They're trying to do a fishing expedition with us. That's all I can say right now. I don't even think I'm supposed to say more than that, but the Biden administration's totally doing, they're absolutely doing a fishing expedition on us. We've got like our, got some agent, I'm not even joking you. It's weaponized to go after everybody, to try to find out any kind of information so that they can go after people. And they did say they were hiring 87,000 agents, right? But that's all I can say. But it's absolutely true, though. They weaponize. They go after people. I saw this thing with Elizabeth Warren today. I had this later on in the show, but this is going. I'm just so aggravated because we have these headlines every single day and nothing comes. What comes of it? We have hearings and then nothing comes of it because Merrick Garland's a little troll who's the AG. He's still mad that he didn't get on Supreme Court. And every day I wake up and one of the things that I'm so grateful for is the fact that this troll from Dark Crystal didn't get on the Supreme Court bench. Super happy about that. And I love it that he's going to be bitter about it for the rest of his unnatural life. Love it. Because he didn't deserve to get on the bench. So he's AG. He's political. He's malicious. He's nasty. He's a nasty, mean dude. And all of this stuff happening, the only way that you're ever going to have any kind of accountability is if the DOJ were to actually bring charges. They're not going to do that. And then you have the pretendian from Massachusetts. She tweeted today, since Elon Musk took over Twitter, I'm concerned Tesla's board has failed to manage conflicts of interest from his role as CEO of Tesla and Twitter. Tesla's board has a legal obligation to serve its shareholders. I'm urging SEC to investigate. She wants the SEC to investigate Elon Musk because he owns Twitter. He owns both of them. How is there any kind of conflict with regards to speech? She's a pretendian who wants to abuse government authority to punish a guy because she finds free speech a threat to her statist agenda. Notice that she didn't call for this with like Tesla and the Boring Company. She didn't call for this with Tesla and Neuralink. She didn't call for this with any, I mean, of the other entities that he owns, but just when he got Twitter. And then that's when she wanted to weaponize it and investigate him. This woman. I mean, it's pathetic. And yet we're supposed to have some sort of respect for these agencies that are being weaponized to go after people. You got some good whistleblowers in there, but they get penalized. They lose their livelihoods. They have their lives ruined. And then what ultimately is the concept? What's the result? Nothing happens to these people that are breaking laws. Like how the cocaine apparently was it destroyed? Nobody knows. Apparently, one congressman out of Tennessee said that Secret Service destroyed the bag. They probably just let Hunter Hoover the rest of it up. In the meantime, John Kirby, boy, oh boy, we're going to dive into this. Did you guys hear John Kirby? John Kirby yesterday was addressing the Pentagon's quote unquote sacred obligation to help troops get abortions. I don't know if you heard the soundbite that went around the world here, but he tore into Republicans, and a lot of this is all related to NDAA, which we've been talking about. He tore into Republicans and said that they have this obligation to protect this. This is, I think, audio soundbite 6. Listen to this.
We want to keep the people that we get, and we want to make sure that they can continue to serve. So it can have an extremely, extremely significant impact on our recruiting and our retention. Not to mention, it's just the right darn thing to do for people that raise their hand and agree to serve in the military.
Okay, Raquel. Thank you so much, Kirby. Hi, John. John, last week, Congresswoman
Unbelievable. It's essential to military readiness. We're going to talk about this here a little bit more. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. We have doing a bunch of jobs for the first here. So we got some days of these United States, so let's select something here, because Kane wanted to play something that I would rather literally open my veins before I play it.
Come on, you don't find the entertainment value in that at all?
I want to die a million deaths before I play. I'm wearing a bright color today, which I immediately regret. It's not black and bitter like my soul right now. All right,
let's do cut two.
Yeah, this is Corey Bush, who doesn't understand what medication is. Listen.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Medication abortion is a lifeline. It's a lifeline for the person working multiple jobs who can't afford to take a day off work because wages are too low or they don't have paid sick leave. It's a lifeline for the mom of two who can't afford child care or who can't find that affordable child care. It's a lifeline for the person who lives hundreds of miles away from the nearest clinic and does not have reliable transportation. It's a lifeline for the trans folks who face transphobia and bigotry because of anti-LGBT plus laws and outrageous bans on a gender-affirming care. These aren't hypothetical.
No, it's just a bunch of ignorance. Medication abortion is a lifeline for trans. What does that even mean? She just had a bunch of words. Abortion, you can sit here and you can try to, you know, talk about what you think it is 6 ways to Sunday, but you're ending something, you know? I mean, I don't want to sit here and have to relitigate the same stupid stuff we talk about for however many years. You know, I mean, it's according to their own statistics, it's less than 1% of all cases. I'm so tired of relitigating the same talking points over and over again for these statists. The issue is that it's being used as birth control. Because women apparently just don't have, some women apparently aren't responsible enough, you know, empowered, girl power, to realize, hey, if you screw around and you take chances, you might get knocked up. Could happen. It's a consequence of it, right? It's a consequence of not keeping your knees kissing. So, you know, to that point, sitting here talking about ending a life because it's inconvenient for you as medication, if we're going to define that, there are a lot of people who are alive today that are inconvenient for me. I mean, if that's how we're going to define it, this is, again, why you don't want me in office. You know what I'm saying, Kane? Like, if Cori Bush wants to sit here and define, well, you know, it's abortion because this life is just inconvenient for someone. There are a lot of people that are inconvenient to me. A lot of people inconvenient to you.
That's right.
You see how this works?
Right.
I mean, we can play this game. I'm your Huckleberry. Let's do this. Golly. This woman. Now, coming up. Because I have a ton. She had other sound bites in here, but they're all infuriating. I'm not going to play this yet, but I'm going to set the table with it. So you guys remember Mr. Rachel Levine?
Oh.
Mr. Rachel. So what is he again? He's like in Health and Human Services. I forget what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, don't be like, oh, you're misgendering. I will punch someone who accuses me of that. The whole life. I'm just fed up. I don't know if you can tell. I'm fed up today.
U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health.
Yeah, because I trust an overweight dude who doesn't know whether or not he has a penis or a vagina to sit here and like dictate everybody, no pun intended, over everybody else over their health, right? Because I trust that person. It's like me asking Chris Farley for dieting tips or something like that. Come on. Like, can you recommend? I mean, I know he's dead, but like, you know, just roll with me here. But anyway, Rachel Levine was giving remarks talking about adolescence and puberty. I've never heard the phrase wrong puberty. Have you?
Never.
Have y'all ever heard the phrase wrong puberty? I've never heard that phrase before. Wrong puberty is what she was trying to call it. Okay. Never heard that. But apparently it's a thing that she thinks, that he thinks exists. I keep wanting to, because I see Rachel and I want to say that he thinks exists. So there's no such thing as wrong puberty. I do think that there's wrong surgery, particularly medically unnecessary surgery. But he gives this, these remarks, and he's talking about how adolescence is hard, puberty is hard. We're going to get into some of this activism, because it's not just about, you know, Disney, and it's not just about culture. What some of these politicians don't understand, some on the right particularly, about culture and about this issue is that this is in the highest levels of government, this ideology, this anti-scientific flat earth type of ideology is literally at the highest levels of government. And they're mainstreaming it as and trying to say that it justifies these medically unnecessary surgeries on kids and hormonal abuse for kids. We're going to talk about this coming up. Also, some of the other things that we have for you. The I did tell you that sleep was, apparently there's sleep inequality. The left going after Musk, you got a little insight in that with Elizabeth Warren, but that's not all. There's more. There's more coming out about that. Also, Anthony Fauci accused of perjury. Former White House doctor lied under oath about funding gain-of-function research in China. Well, duh. We know that. We're also going to get into some of the 2024 stuff. We got some foreign policy. We got a whole bunch of stuff to touch on. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show back after this.
Why do you think the Secret Service doesn't care that cocaine was found at the Biden White House?
Oh, I hope they care. There's thousands of people who go in and out of the White House. If you all want to be strip searched, you know, for substances before you go into the White House, that's something that, you know, you should work with the Secret Service to see if they can accommodate.
Why do you?
I mean, I get that he has a fetish. You know, I understand that, but you know, there's also drug sniffing dogs, and there's also, I just don't believe that it was any staffer. Like Stephen Kane and I, we all talked about this, and Steve was like, "Yeah, it's no millennial because they're all scared to death." Exactly. It's true, they are. But the insistence that, well, you know, if you want to be, just there's just no need. There's literally no need for him to be so confrontational and snotty. But it's Eric Fartswell, so I mean, what do you expect? I just thought that was these. They don't take it seriously. And the other thing that makes people aggravated is that at some point it becomes less about the cocaine and it becomes more about the loophole insecurity here, like the security loophole that anybody apparently can get any kind of powdered substance in, you know, at all whatsoever going into the White House. And that's concerning. I don't care if, you know, if you'd like the president or not. You know, we are a very fortunate country in that we're able to change leadership and administration without bloodshed. I'd like to keep that, you know. I mean, it's like a big, you know, it's a big feather in our cap compared to everybody else around the world. So I'd like to kind of keep that. And I'd also like to make sure that our elected leaders are safe. I mean, I think we're hardcore enough that we can keep our folks safe, right? I mean, I don't know anymore. That's the thing. I mean, I am surprised that they, and as Kane noted, that they haven't come out and said, no, it is not Hunter's. Stop it. No one's ever said that, which means it's Hunter's. Yeah. It's his. That's it. Welcome back to the show. You're really crabby curmudgeon. As you, if you couldn't tell by the piece that came out late last night, Dana Lash here with you. Oh, we'll get into all of it. Don't you worry your pretty little head. But the lack of concern on this, that's what's troubling. Democrats, surely they care about making, wait, hold up. Now here's another way to interpret this. Do they not care about keeping Joe Biden safe? Is that why they don't care about the white substance that's in the white powder and the or the cocaine in the White House? Is because they just don't care about keeping him safe? I just now realized that. I'm this second years old. I just now realized that. Maybe it's that. Now, that Kane, that could be a very plausible That makes some sense.
It does.
They don't like him. They're not making a big deal about the cocaine. Could have been anthrax. They don't care.
Or that's how they get Joe through a press conference.
Yeah. If you get the email newsletter, did you guys see my top story? It wasn't my top story. It was just the first link because I found the Photoshop and I thought it was hysterical. Y'all remember when last week when Janet Yellen was in China, repeatedly bowing like a cartoon to Xi Jinping, or no, not Xi Jinping, but one of the deputy ministers there of the CCP. And we were like, that's kind of weird, because it was weird, right? Wasn't it weird? It was weird the way she kept bowing like that. Apparently she's on shrooms. Did you guys hear about the story? Why are you saying that like, yeah, I figured? Why are you saying it like that?
I saw it over the weekend and I saw how the news buried it. They didn't even want to talk about it.
So someone made her look like Toad from Super Mario Brothers, and it's hysterical. So she apparently ate psychedelic mushrooms in China. Now, the chef there says, oh, no, they weren't the psychedelic kind. I don't believe you, because I would not put it past the CCP to have their crazy little chef give her some psychedelic shrooms. I totally do not at all doubt. Now, the story goes like this. So she had, and I'm going to try to say this, Jianshu King. It is a type of wild mushroom with unpredictable psychedelic effects. And CNN said that she nipped into a casual Beijing restaurant after landing, where she exhibited excellent skills with her chopsticks, like it's hard. And then she said, one food expert told the Chinese state news. See, it sounds like they're making fun of her. One food expert told the state news agency there, you thought you were walking straight, but you just fell sideways in the potent powers of the mushroom. There was one professor who told CNN, quote, I have a friend who mistakenly ate them and hallucinated for 3 days. The restaurant, now here's where it gets weird. So the New York Post has this story where they said that Yellen stopped at this restaurant, Yi Zhu Yi Wang, which means in and out in English. And a lot of people were talking about this on all of the Chinese social media. And the restaurant said of her visit, quote, it was an extremely magical day. That's what they said. Because she was bowing like a Fruit Loop.
Magical?
I know. That was the restaurant's statement from the New York Post. Okay? So now here's the story at CNN. Mushroom diplomacy. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen sets off a culinary craze in China. She didn't set it off. It's been clearly a craze already. But they said that it was the Jianshu King, a highly sought after mushroom. We're talking about shrooms. Here we are, because Janet Yellen ate them. And that's why apparently she was bowing like a fruitcake. They said that, because people are just joining in, like, what did I walk into? What in Food Network hell is this? Okay. But apparently, I feel like that the Chinese media is trying to make fun of her, whereas the United States media is going, oh, she just set off a craze. She didn't set it off. They've been doing it. That's why they've had the dishes there. But it is kind of weird that they said, oh, it was a magical day, and that, you know, she went and apparently enjoyed it so much she had 4 portions.
Oh, yeah.
So you think she was on shrooms?
I do.
Jianshu King apparently literally translates as sea hand blue. It gets its name from one of its defining characteristics. The inner surface of the mushroom bruises and turns blue when you apply pressure during the slicing process. So that's apparently. So they said, yeah, well, they can be hallucinogenic. You think? So that might be a reason why she looked loopy. I mean, it makes some sense. Did she know that they were psychedelic? I doubt it. I don't know. But it's pretty, it's just, I don't know. It makes some sense when you see how she was. Yeah. And as Kane said, it'll explain her take on the economy for sure. All right. I don't know if you guys heard some of this. Can we play this? This is let's just switch it up. I had a little piece out about 2024. Audio sound by 12. Let's do it. RFK Jr. I'm tired of saying all these consonants, by the way. Can you call him like Robbie, like Rob, like what do you mean? Bobby Jr. Like Jr. Can you just something? So he is getting, I don't know if you saw him, but his thirsty clout chasing family immediately decided to fame whore on social media to try to condemn his remarks. Like, nobody cared what Carrie Kennedy thought. She just gave an award to that suitcase girl, game show girl. Nobody cares what Carrie Kennedy thinks. Literally nobody except Carrie Kennedy. So RFK Jr. says something at some kind of fundraiser dinner. This is apparently what it was. Listen.
In fact, COVID-19, there's an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. The races that are most immune to COVID-19 are because of the structure of the genetic structure among genetic differentials among different races of the receptors of the ACE2 receptor. COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese.
Okay. Kane and I are just looking at each other. So here's the thing. You had Joe Kennedy III. Which Kennedy is he? I don't even remember anymore. Which one is he? Is he the Kennedy that was whining about restaurants? No, that's JFK's nephew, right? Yeah. I don't know. So Joe Kennedy III gets out there and says, "My uncle's comments were hurtful and wrong. I unequivocally condemn what he said." Nobody asked, Joe. Nobody gave a rat's backside. And then you had Carrie Kennedy out there clout chasing. She had like a series of tweets, so thirsty. She caps lock, "I strongly condemn my brother's deplorable and untruthful remarks." Literally no one asked. How pathetic are you as a family member that you immediately, your first thought is, "I got to go and issue a statement to the press." Nobody cares what you think. And I think it's just so trashy when I see family members go out and remark on their other family members. So do you know why he said that? Because he's a kook. Can we just be honest? I am so tired of like pretending. He's a kook. He's a damn kook. We all know it. Stop pretending otherwise. And I also wouldn't put anything past, no matter how racist or anti-Semitic or crazy it is, past the Communist Chinese Party. It is a party that literally banned a cartoon bear. They banned Winnie the Pooh because it hurt Xi Jinping's feelings. But I always thought that RFK Jr. was a kook. And I thought he treated his dead former wife like garbage. Go and read how he treated his ex-wife. He was like, apparently, was accused of screwing around on her, and then she hung herself in a barn. Now, I think it's amusing that RFK Jr.'s comments are inexcusable, but driving a woman into a pond and leaving her for dead, that's okay. I mean, it's really weird what the Kennedys want to rush out on and what they don't want to rush out on. But let's not beat around the bush here. I don't care about RFK Jr.'s campaign. I'm not going to pretend that I do. I'm not going to celebrate him like he's like a serious challenger to old President McUnity falls up McStairs. Not going to do it. Literally anybody can beat Biden. Like a hobo from Skid Row can beat Biden. A half empty bottle of Axe body spray can beat Joe Biden. Come on. We're talking about primary. I mean, the planets aligned and we fell into agreement with RFK Jr. on the singular issue of the clot shot. Great. Golf claps. Yay. It doesn't mean that he's a Republican. It doesn't mean that he's a moderate Democrat. It doesn't even mean that he's a serious challenger to Biden. I mean, in some ways, he's similar to, former president in terms of message discipline or absence of when it matters the most. I mean, he might be a nice guy, but dude, he says some kooky stuff. I've talked about this before. I have a whole other post where I mentioned how he said some pretty crazy stuff before. I mean, this is a guy who was like, "You need to arrest and put to death all the coal company people." Who says that? I mean, that's like some Cori Bush garbage. Come on. Who says stuff like that? "We got to arrest and kill these coal company people." I mean, then he was going after gun rights groups, saying that they killed all the kids in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Who talks like that? Not a moderate. Stop. Oh, my gosh. Like, what did he say? He wanted to put the Koch brothers and Exxon to corporate death and said, "If you deny global warming, you're a traitor." He said that. He wanted to put climate deniers into jail. Stop acting like the guy's not a kook. He's a kook. That's why he says what he says. That doesn't change the fact that his family's disgusting. I mean, a bunch of literally fame whoring and just plain whoring otherwise, driving women, leaving them in ponds, seeing Regine's secretaries, all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's the Kennedy legacy. I mean, are we shocked that he's any different? No. I mean, he might be an amiable person, but he's a fruitcake. So I'm not going to, I realize that some people really want to beat Joe Biden and they think he's going to be a serious challenger. It's not going to happen. Not with him. It's not going to happen. So I just wanted to be straight about that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently they found where America's worst drivers are. Oh my gosh, you could have asked me and I would have told you and I would have saved you so much money. All right, so the 10 cities with the worst drivers. This is based on Consumer Affairs analysis. You guys ready? Memphis, I don't know what y'all are doing in Memphis, but y'all got number one. Memphis got number one. So they said that Tennessee had the most cities that appeared in the top 20. It was the worst ranked city in Memphis. They said 34 deadly crashes per 100,000 people in 2021. That's an increase compared to 12 per 100,000. They said failing to yield. They like measured all this stuff, like blood alcohol content, aggressive, careless driving, erratic lane changing. Number two, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Three, Albuquerque. Four, Macon, Georgia. Macon, Georgia? What is wrong with, what are you doing in Macon, Georgia? How are you all so bad at driving? Number five is St. Louis. We totally agree on that. That's accurate. And it's all people on Highway 40.
Yep.
All of it's Highway 40. Cleveland, Ohio was six. Detroit was seven. Hesperia, California. Nine is Rockford, Illinois. Really? Dallas, Texas didn't rank on this list?
I was gonna say.
You kidding me? They said McKinney, Texas, number five. Is the safest drivers. I'm calling shenanigans right now. I'm saying shenanigans. White House security chief says, and this is John Kirby. He says UFOs are having an impact on our training ranges and needed to be treated as a legitimate issue. Sure, okay. The marketing for Barbie is going way too far. Now apparently there is a Burger King inspired Barbie meal thing. It's pink. They got pink sauce on it and it's weird looking. Stop. We need to quit this stuff. Stop it. In-N-Out Burger's alleged new mask policy is causing controversy because they are saying that people want to see smiles, so quit covering your face. You don't need to wear the mask that doesn't work anyway. Stop it. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. More 2024 culture. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
An opinion that's posted on the DOJ's public-facing website that really details this issue. This is a readiness issue. The fact that Senator Tarbellville maintains this hold on the promotions of our senior officers, it cascades, it creates friction throughout the entire chain. It disadvantages families. You've heard us talk about the impact of that, and so I would ask Senator Tarbellville to lift this hold. And as you think about this, Jennifer, I would imagine our adversaries would look at something like this and be pretty happy that we create this kind of turbulence within our force.
So this is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and this came out like 20. Almost 25 minutes ago, saying that he's talking about paying for service members. This is part of one of the proposals that was going along with the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Act. And in one of those things, Republicans were trying to block Democrats from mandating taxpayer coverage of abortions for military members using as birth control, right? And then you have, I'm just trying to get for a second the last line that he said. I would imagine our adversaries would look at something like this and be happy that we create this kind of turbulence within our force. Yeah, because you guys are doing that. You guys are insisting that it be included. Of course, you also insisted that men and women be housed and, you know, served together too, which created some problems that contributed to this issue. But, you know, I digress. You keep using the military as a social experiment and then you're shocked when you get a Frankenstein's monster situation. To travel to obtain, that's not a readiness issue. This, I mean, and he's mentioning, as you heard, Tarbellville, who is the senator who's standing against this. Can you imagine trying to convince people, look, you know, this guy's, you know, taking a stand against, you know, us funding, you know, going and getting abortion coverage or trans surgeries instead of, you know, your bills and your retirement. I mean, there are veterans I know that are having issues just being able to afford the things that they need to afford and the care that they need. And they've served in combat and they deal with stuff every day. I mean, I have friends that have been even trying to, you know, advocate and raise awareness for this. I mean, the boot campaign is one of those. And we were just talking about that with Black Rifle Coffee and the boot campaign raising money for veterans and the unseen wounds of war. We can't help with those issues, but we're talking about using defense dollars, i.e. taxpayer dollars, to go and cover the costs of abortion as birth control. That's inexcusable. I mean, is it a war on adversaries or a war on the unborn? I mean, there's the question. But I also do think it's important to note, and I remember back, you know, with all of this, I mean, you had the left that wanted to insist that, you know, let's have men and women right there together, serving together, and just, you know, this is sad and really shameful. As Kane says, yeah, it's don't ask, don't tell on steroids. This is, I mean, and this is a rhetorical question, but how does abortion help with military readiness? I mean, unless now you're saying that you're practicing so that you can go and abort other people in the, you know, battlefield. Gonna, I guess, what, vacuum them up? I don't know. I mean, it's just an honest question. How does this... It doesn't help with military readiness. This is just absolute clownery. And it's just wild to watch the defense secretary argue for this. This is our military service. This is not about politics. It's about military service. So, you know what readiness is? Readiness isn't abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer. Readiness is mental health. Making sure our troops are healthy, making sure they're fit, making sure that they're well-trained, which seem to be, those seem to be issues that are kind of falling by the wayside if you look at some of these people who are higher ups that are pushing the pencils, not out there actually in the field, cashing the checks, so to speak. That's military readiness. This isn't military readiness. I mean, we're doing stuff like this, and I mean, look what your geopolitical foes are doing. I mean, I'm just, this is just shocking. Who was the one guy that they were talking about last week? They did this whole profile on him, and he was in his fatigues, and he had the rainbow flag, and he was saying that he was trans. You remember that guy? They did a whole thing on it. They had like tweeted it out. Lloyd Austin. Well, this is about, you know, we got to make sure this is about military readiness. And the Babylon Bee jokingly said, Pentagon needs military, says military needs abortions to help them become proficient in killing innocent people. There's something. This has nothing to do with military readiness. This is you're extending the social experimentation into the military for the purpose of division and weakening the military. This doesn't strengthen the military. You have a core set of standards that soldiers are expected to abide by. And you also have an expectation of fitness and mental strength that they're expected to abide by. And I think that if you are in the services and you're focusing more on worrying as to whether or not people are going to affirm your, however wrong it is, self-perception, then maybe you're in the wrong spot. Sounds like you're not healthy enough to be serving. Because nobody cares about that stuff when push comes to shove. But this, I mean, it's like one out of a million of these, you know, this domino effect of weakening military, which is the opposite of military readiness. I mean, here we have the issue where we had the reservists that are getting called up. Then I don't know if you saw the story out of Palau. This is World War II. This is out in the Pacific. So the airstrips out on this island, apparently, the president of that island nation says that the U.S. military is reactivating these airstrips that were built by the Japanese during World War II. Now, that's just what they are saying. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful. I've always wanted to go there. And it's, you know, it's increased aggression with regards to China. But I'm looking at some of this because that came out this morning. And they were saying that Chinese ships have been increasingly active around here. This was just a day ago. This report came out. Probing Palau's waters, Chinese ships becoming more and more active. Their president was saying that China does not respect rules-based order, called on the U.S. to support Palau in promoting deterrence. And they said Beijing's maritime reach has increasingly extended into Oceania. That's the, what is it, Western Pacific area there. And like for underwater mapping, all kinds of stuff. They said that two Chinese vessels, this was in February of this year, two Chinese vessels cut cables that were used by some Taiwanese islands. And that can actually disrupt communications, commerce, you know, a bunch of other things. And Palau has been very critical of China. So now we have these airstrips. I'm just saying, so we have all this stuff reacted. And this was the Taiwanese news that had first reported this. Their president saying that the preference for the U.S. is strong. They said they need more effort to support local community. And they were saying that the military was reactivating these Palauan airstrips that were used during World War II by the Japanese. This was yesterday that he said this. He said the U.S. would have full access to his country if China invaded Taiwan. Palau has three runways, U.S. Marines extending one of them, and the other two can accommodate C-130s. But hey, let's go ahead and run our recruitment numbers down into nothingness because we are using the military as a social experiment. We integrated women into men's units, and then we just looked the other way, and now we have all of these issues with abortions. How convenient. And then we have Rachel Levine, Assistant Secretary, Department of Health and Human Services. We got to touch on this because this is wild audio. Let me pull this up. This is audio soundbite one. I want you to listen to what he says on this. Listen to this video.
What would you say to folks who think that they're being reasonable by saying, why can't children just wait till they're 18?
The adolescence is hard and puberty is hard. What if you're going through the wrong puberty? You inside feel that you are female, but now you're going through a male puberty?
Wait, so male puberty is wrong puberty? I'm just curious. Is that what he's saying? There's no such thing as wrong puberty. He has a disorder. He has a mental disorder. I mean, you cannot change your sex. It's impossible to change your sex. It's not something that can ever be done. You're playing pretend. People can get mad at it. But I think it's ignorant and actually offensive to demand that everyone else disperse with reality to accommodate your compromised mental view. That's what this is. It's not compassionate. You're making people even more miserable in their struggle because this is something that they're never going to biologically achieve. It's never going to happen. And we're going to play pretend for the military too? And you got this guy who's always in his uniform going after kids. Well, they should have access to sex change surgeries. They could be going through the wrong puberty. I don't trust an overweight dude, again, who doesn't know that he's a dude, to sit here and talk about wrong or right puberty. You are not qualified. Shut up. You're not qualified. It's like, I'm going to say it. I don't trust a skinny chef. It's a saying. There's a reason why that's a saying. Dude, did we accidentally like get zapped up by aliens and like, are we dead? Like, what happened?
Shift into another dimension? What happened?
I don't know, but it's wild, right? I just feel like this is nuttiness here. Admiral Rachel Levine says prepubescent minors should have access to sex change surgeries. And they want the public to fund this too, don't you know? That's what it gets to next. They also want the public to fund this. It's not it's not a right to have someone else affirm your worldview. This is a mental illness. And we're treating, you know, people who are talking about this and trying to mainstream it with kids as though they're experts. That's you don't cutting off a physical attribute doesn't change your DNA. It doesn't change your biological makeup. It's not, and it doesn't do that. Doesn't do it. I guess they're promoting that it does. I can't even believe we're having this basic conversation. Do you ever feel like you're like talking? It's issues for toddlers, right? I mean, this is basic stuff you think people would understand. Can't chop off your willy and become a girl. It's not going to happen. You can't change from a girl to a boy. It's not going to happen. It's biologically impossible. You can get upset about it, but that's the nature of things. Them's the facts. We're not going to use tax dollars to play pretend in our military when we got Biden opening up, you know, reservists, sending them to Ukraine. We got stuff going on with the Strait of Hormuz in Iran. And now we got these Palawan airstrips. This is the last thing that we need to be doing. We got Florida Man on the way. And coming up, some 2020, some fundraising, some culture, some foreign policy. You don't want to miss a single bit of it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A woman in South Florida stole a car in Kentucky. A South Florida woman stole a car in Kentucky because she was tired of walking. She did this, police say, right after getting out of jail for trying to steal another car. According to police, a South Florida woman managed to land in a Kentucky jail twice, literally in the same day, for two separate car theft attempts. The first was unsuccessful, but given a second chance following her release from jail, Yamia Laborde managed to take off with someone else's car for just a few minutes before cops stopped her. It was all in Paducah. And they said that when they were talking to her, why did she do this? Because she said that, quote, she was tired of walking. She saw an unattended vehicle, and so she took it. So she's booked again into jail. This time, she's held on a $2,500 bond. I don't think that's a legitimate excuse. You can't just be like, no, I'm tired of walking. I'm going to just go ahead. This car's mine now. It's my car. Miami Herald, Florida woman was yelling at customers, and then she picked up a burrito and threw it. Assault by burrito. This is like the fifth story, and I don't know how like that we have this. People have got to stop with the burrito. She actually missed her intended target, and then she hit somebody else in the face. So she's got $250 bond. They took her to jail. She bonded on $250. The burrito. I honestly don't think he got hurt with a burrito, but it's still, you know, you can't be, you know, whatever. Let's see. I got a couple of other stories here. Oh my gosh. The alligator stuff. Another alligator biting. A man bitten by an alligator while snorkeling at Central Florida Springs. Guys, it looks like a Jurassic Park scene. Why would you snorkel here? A man said he was bitten by a 7.5-foot gator while snorkeling in Central Florida at a spring in the National Forest in Florida. They said it was aggressive. It was in the Alexander Springs Recreation Area, and the man was snorkeling in the designated swimming area. Doesn't mean that the gator sees that sign and thinks, I'm not going to go there. He got puncture wounds, lacerations. He sought medical care. And the on-site operator was able to render aid. His condition's unknown. The gator was removed by Florida Fish and Wildlife. Guys, you just got to be careful even of a puddle. They're in every body of water. Just go ahead and assume that they're everywhere watching you waiting for a bite. It's just the way it is. A Florida man was hit by a train while trying to take a selfie. Volusia County deputies and Orange City Police responded to CSX railroad tracks. It was about 3:30 p.m. yesterday involving a train and a pedestrian. This is a sad story. They said that the victim was trying to take a selfie with the train approaching, but he slipped before he could step off the tracks. It was a 19-year-old man from DeBary. He was taken to Florida Lake Monroe Hospital. Serious but non-life-threatening injuries that included several broken limbs. Investigation's ongoing. He's lucky, and I don't know why you have to have an ongoing investigation. Don't be like playing chicken taking selfies with the train. It's that simple. Third hour on the way.
Governor, you've spent a lot of time with Governor Reynolds. You defended her after President Trump's recent statements. Would you consider her as a potential vice presidential pick in this campaign?
Of course. I mean, she's one of the top public servants in America. You know, I thought the attacks on her were totally, totally out of hand and totally unnecessary. We should be thanking good Republican office holders. You know, we kind of joke about the the Iowa, Florida. Sometimes they do things before us, sometimes we do. But honestly, I want them to do better than us, and because it's healthy. When Republicans are doing well, I like that. I don't get jealous of that. I want to see them do well, and so they've done a great job, and I think she's been a model public servant, and anybody who's a Republican that's trying to denigrate her, I think is way off base on that.
Ooh, that was an interesting remark from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Everybody's been making the rounds in Iowa. They have their Iowa State Fair coming up in August, and then that's when all of the very awkward pictures come out of everyone eating corn dogs. It's hysterical. Welcome back to the show. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. Listen coast to coast. Stream the show. Channel 347, DirecTV, Facebook, YouTube also, where there's all kinds of discussion. And so the whole situation with this, with 2024, I always like to touch on it every now and then, but, you know, primaries are going to primary, but I think we need to remember ultimately what we're going up against in the general election, and that's really where the ire should be directed. And as I noted yesterday, if you got my piece about, what did I call it? It was like Monday night cranky thought. I sent it out late, but it was late. But I got into everything from, I was talking about RFK Jr. and all kinds of stuff. The thing is, and that what DeSantis was talking about was how Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, said she was going to stay neutral, which makes sense, you know, because, I mean, Iowa's, you know, in terms of measuring things for fundraising and getting started in the primary, it's one of the first states to go. So I can understand why the governor would want to remain neutral in that respect so as to attract candidates and make sure that voters have access to the candidates, right? Because candidates get weird after you come out and you declare for someone or you join somebody's campaign. They get weird with each other. So, I mean, and he was responding to, I guess Trump was upset. The former president was upset because Reynolds didn't endorse him. Now, I'm going to tell you, behind the scenes, there's been a wild endorsement game going on. People have been pressured to endorse. Phones have been ringing off the hook. I mean, it's like a race to try to lock up as much as possible. And it's gotten nasty online. You can't take anything online seriously. Twitter, I think I take Twitter even less serious now than I ever did, because it's so easy to just game perception on Twitter. There's so many brand new accounts. If I see a brand new account, it has like a handful of followers and it was just created last month, I immediately block it. I don't even care because it's not worth my attention. It's always some kind of operative's brand new created account, always. And it parrots the same stuff that a whole other host of accounts say, and they all follow each other. And that's like an old operative trick. That's not even like modern anymore. That's something that's been going on since, you know, 2008. It's been going on for a long time. But to that extent, people have been snipping at each other, you know, on social. And I don't understand why it is that I get the feeling that, at least on the Republican side, you know, if you come out for one, because I think it's a two-person primary. Let me start there, because it is a two-person primary. This is between Trump and DeSantis. And I saw a new poll that came out of New Hampshire, and it shows Trump in the lead, but it shows that his lead is diminished. And it shows that his percentage is growing. The only other person that kind of comes close is Tim Scott, but he's in a super, super distant third. It's just not going to happen. It is a two-person primary, and it's only ever going to be a two-person primary. I mean, I think that's pretty much a gimme. It's between Trump and DeSantis. I think everybody else has too much baggage or there's too many questions, you know, for it to be any other than the top two. And like I've told you before, so much of the early polling and this polling. Now, I will say, because this came out a little earlier today, I haven't broken out everything, so I haven't seen whether or not there were enough people surveyed to even have this count towards inclusion in the Republican debates, because it has to be likely voters. You have to have a minimum of 800, and that's really expensive to do those types of surveys. And really early on, nobody wants to spend that kind of money that early on for something that really doesn't, it's not going to mean anything in like a couple of months. I mean, who raises what is the best measure of support or chance at this stage? And so, you know, as it comes to the primary, it's a two-person primary. Like I said, a lot of the polling is garbage. Fundraising, the GOP has been pretty ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen this. The state party Republican committees have been in disarray. I talked about this last week. I mean, they all have their own issues. I mean, they're in terms of party leadership, the RNC's got to get it together. And the media has been trying to make it look like DeSantis is stuttering out. He's stalling out while trying to lawfare the former president into oblivion. So they're attacking both the two people in that primary. I kind of wish Trump would recognize this and have a show of strength by, like, you know, attacking the left instead of, he spent more money this cycle already going after other Republicans than the left. And I mean, I know that he wants to lock up the primary, but I really do feel like this is the last best chance election we got. Not kidding. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I really do believe it. So, you know, as I've told people, because people know who I like, I made it clear, you know, I mean, I going into the primary, I prefer DeSantis in the primary because I don't string you all along. Other commentators do string you along. There are people out there who are going to pretend to be Switzerland and they're going to think they're way too crafty, way too smart for you to discover what their leanings are. So they're going to try to shape your opinion by the manner in which they present headlines and how they talk. They think that they're being crafty about shaping your perception. And I'm just honest about where I'm at. I don't think that you can have a relationship with your audience and not be honest. But I also think that there are a lot of commentators out there who are terrified of their audience. And as of such, they feel like they can't be honest with them. I've always been straight, no chaser, and that's why everybody, you know, y'all trust me for consistency. I'm not going to fault people for thinking differently. I think we've all been pretty much faulted by the press and the left enough over the past, like, decade or so. Don't you think so? I mean, no matter who the nominee is in 2024, that's who I'm going to vote for regardless, like I did previously. But, you know, I think that you have to have a healthy primary, but I also, like I said, I don't want to beat other candidates to death because I like backups. Now, to my point here on all of this, when it comes to this primary, the two-person primary and the snipping and all of that other stuff, the people being snotty with each other, I do think that some people need to check yourself a little bit. I saw J.D. Vance out there. He tweeted yesterday, quote, maybe DeSantis is garbage social media influencers. I don't even know what, I hate that word influencer. Can we talk about just that word coming up later? He writes, maybe DeSantis's garbage social media influencers should spend some more time attacking their former friends. I'm sure that will help their guy. And I retweeted it and I said, not the right way to win hearts and minds, if that even is what the goal is anymore. Let me be real. Vance would not have won the Republican, he would not have won his race had Republicans not bailed him out. And by Republicans, I'm going to say something very unpopular, but it's true. And I've triple checked the math on this. The senator that everybody loves to hate, Mitch McConnell, bailed him out of his race. He outspent Trump in Vance's race by a lot. Millions and millions of dollars to bail out J.D. Vance and bail out that win. If you get the newsletter, I sent you all the receipts on that, like all of them. He spent, in fact, it was his group. And it's also kind of McConnell's job to do that. But he spent more than the de facto leader of the party to bail out the guy that the de facto leader of the party had endorsed. And that last election, I mean, I think the Trump camp had raised over $160 million, but they spent $14 million in state Senate races. McConnell, you know what McConnell spent? $238 million to win the Senate and bail out. He was bailing out. I know a lot of people were trying to say otherwise. I went and looked at the math. I gave you all the links. You can go look at it yourself. You can look at the hard receipts. There's PDFs of them up there of everybody, all their filing documents. They have to file it. It's law. And so he spent millions and millions. The Senate Leadership Fund, Ad Impact was the one who first measured it. So Vance, he got bailed out. And acknowledging this doesn't make somebody a McConnell stan at all. That's dumb. It just means that the person acknowledging it, the financial reality, is economically literate and can count. That's what that means. Now, Vance has the security of 5 more years before his reelection bid, so he can kind of get sassy and talk smack about imaginary offenses until he needs help once again to make him competitive in a purple state, which he'll require. I think a lot of people have over-romanticized how they define a political hard ass. And I think they've lost the plot in the process. I mean, what's the point of being hard all the time if you're not successful in persuading people? Then you just look like a fool. What is the point of messaging in politics if not to be persuasive? Because if that's not the goal, then what is the goal? Just glorification of self? Or is it genuinely about convincing people to see and understand your issue and join you? I mean, if the goal is just to boost somebody's fragile little ego with exercises designed to inflate some type of imaginary Twitter toughness, then the messenger is in it for their own purposes and not for the good of the country. I mean, there's a time to be nice, as James Dalton once said in the epic that is Roadhouse. And then there's a time to not be nice. And I think a lot of people don't understand some of the people I've seen on social don't understand between the two. I mean, I can't imagine be all of a sudden supporting someone. Like, this goes both ways, whether it's Trump or DeSantis. Everybody loved Governor Ron DeSantis. Oh, he's doing so many great things in Florida. Then he decides he's running against Trump. Holy hell, he's a Satanist communist baby-eating seal abuser. Beats baby seals with bats. Who knows? Or if it's opposite. You love what Donald Trump did when he was president, and then all of a sudden, a guy that you like better is, oh my gosh, Trump is the devil. He's a Satan-loving communist. I mean, how do people flip like that? I don't get that. I don't get how you can go from liking one candidate and thinking that they've done some good things, then all of a sudden they're competitive with your dude in a primary, and holy hell, it's like, torch the field? I am so distrustful of people who can turn on a dime like that. I don't trust those cats. You trust those cats? I can't go into hating somebody like that in a primary. I am super suspicious of people who get that wound up about it. You should be too. You just can't, like the people who liked DeSantis 2 seconds ago, now he's like the devil, or the people who liked Trump 2 seconds ago, now he's like the devil? Calm yourselves down. Man. Some people just, you know what they do? They need a diet soda. They need to sit in a nice breeze, just chill, getting too wound up. Come on. I mean, it's not even really technically, I mean, we're in the sort of beginning of the primary. We're not even in the beginning of it yet. We got a long way to go, folks. It's too early to be making those types of enemies.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was looking at this video Kane mentioned to me just on break, because this like happened, what, like minutes ago. And Biden's meeting with the Israeli president at the White House, and he legit looks like he's sleeping. We're going to come back because he looks like he's sleeping. I got distracted. He looks like he's sleeping in the video. I mean, Hong Kong is offering $1 million bounties for dissidents abroad. Yeah, CCP, they're offering a bounty of up to $1 million to anybody who can help find 8 activists that fled to other countries and they continue to fight against the authoritarian government. So they said that it's directed by China. They're sending people to harass innocent people, innocent dissidents. And they're upping the ante. $1 million. And you know, people are sadly going to take that. That's so unfortunate. New York Times says that smoke pollution from Canadian wildfires is blanketing U.S. cities again. Maybe if they actually tried, you know, proper forest management, we wouldn't keep having this issue. But they said they're expected to create more smoky conditions in the U.S. Parts of the U.S. had unhealthy air last month from wildfires in other parts of Canada. Also, The Hill. U.S. is going to send F-35s, F-16s to the Gulf region after Iran attempted to seize some oil tankers. This is in the Strait of Hormuz. They said that a Navy destroyer, F-16, F-35 fighter jets to the region are going to be sent after a number of recent alarming events in the Strait, according to a Pentagon spokesperson who confirmed it yesterday. They ordered the deployment of USS Thomas Hudner, and they said the responsibility to defend U.S. interests and safeguard freedom of navigation in the region. Now, we've already had some F-16s and A-10 Warthogs in the region, the latter of which has been patrolling there for like a week or more. This was after on July 5th when Iranian naval forces were trying to overtake 2 oil tankers in or near the Gulf of Oman, and they fired upon one of them. So they said that it's going to give them some cover as they traverse the waterway. Or, you know, Iran could just stop being shady. You know, that's also, you know, just saying. I can't remember if I mentioned this yesterday or not. A woman was gored at Yellowstone National Park. 47-year-old woman from Phoenix suffered significant injuries to chest and abdomen. She was walking away from the animal and it charged. It was taken to the hospital. She was about 20. There, people are told to stay 25 yards away from bison. Nobody knows exactly how far away she was when it charged. But they said they can get very easily agitated during mating season, which is now and goes all the way from mid-July through mid-August. It's the first time this year a bison has gored someone at the park. So, yeah, just stay away from them. Don't get near them. Don't try to be taking no selfies. You know, they are animals. They're a little temperamental right now. So, you know, keep that in mind. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the show after this.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Turns out even Jack Smith can't resist a $5
And just one last point.
That's
Jack Smith. Remember when the classified right there, documents target left.
Jack Smith. It's Jack Smith, everybody. Oh, my gosh. It's Jack Smith. Wait, what? You mean there's like lots of Jacks? Yeah, there's Jack Smith. Listen
Jack Smith going to Subway today is a message to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump tries to intimidate people.
So he went to Subway and got a $5 footlong. Jack Smith, special counsel. Jack Smith went to Subway. And he got a $5 footlong.
Apartment and its appointee, Jack Smith.
And that's, they are flipping out over at CNN. I mean, the imagery was intentional and it spoke volumes. What did he say? He's like, yeah.
People. He tries to bully people. He tries to scare you away. That was Jack Smith with no words and a simple $5 sub in his hand saying, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah,
or maybe he also was hungry.
Tree was intentional and spoke volume.
Or maybe sometimes you just want a sandwich. These people are so thirsty for somebody. Like, who was it? I don't even remember anymore. Mueller. Oh, God, that guy. Mueller is coming. Mueller. No, he didn't. Remember, that's all they said for like an obnoxious year. And then they didn't get what they wanted, so they got real sad about it. And then now I guess they think it's going to be Jack Smith. So they're all fangirling. They're like acting like Swifties. Oh my gosh, it's just the Jack Smith with us. He eats sandwiches like all of us do.
Turns out even Jack Smith can't resist a $5 footlong.
Who can? I'm not kidding. This is all like just in the span of this hour. But wait a minute. Now hold up. Full stop here on The Dana Show. Did he just get just the sandwich? It's kind of weird, right? Is it weird just to get the sandwich?
And not chips?
Yeah, like you don't get no chips.
Or a cookie.
You don't get no like soda with it? Like what? You get the sandwich? Jack Smith doesn't need liquids. He drinks the tears of maggots. I'm surprised CNN didn't say that. Surprised they didn't.
What toppings does Jack Smith love on his sandwich?
Did he get white bread? Did he get wheat bread? What did Jack Smith get? I can't believe that they didn't send like a whole satellite truck over there. Jack Smith. This is John King, CNN. Yes, can you tell us what kind of Subway sandwich did you purchase, Jack? Or did you purchase the sandwich as a message to Donald Trump? Are you going to eat? Never mind. That's going to be bad. But you know what I was going to say? Is that bad?
Technically, it's appropriate for this news segment.
Jack, are you going to do that? I mean, you know, I'm just wondering. What kind of sub was it?
This is our media.
They spent... Oh my gosh, they spent like an hour on this. Oh my gosh, because this is like from a whole hour broadcast. They spent that much time on this.
Journalism.
Oh my gosh, that's precious. It's like watching kids wait up for an imaginary figure to bring you gifts. I just realized sometimes it's summer and kids are home. Shh. But this is so silly. Special counsel Jack Smith. They act like he is a celebrity. And all of this. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's sleeping at the White House. Is he? I'm watching this video. And this was a little bit ago. And I'm looking down at my monitor watching this video. He is meeting with the Israeli president. And I think he just slept standing up or sitting up. In the seat. Is he talking?
Yes, he's talking.
Like clearly?
At a political level,
can I be honest about something?
Yeah.
I understand Ozzy Osbourne. I understand Ozzy Osbourne more than what I just heard.
Oh yeah. Oh, completely. Totally. Yeah, I don't, was confusing. And did you see the Israeli prime minister like leaning in more and more?
Yeah.
Like he knew something's up. He knew he's like leaning in. He's leaning in some more.
And like, he's the closest guy to Biden, and he didn't even understand what he said.
He couldn't even. Yeah, he had no idea what he was saying. He had no idea. That's just uncomfortable looking. He doesn't. I mean, I get it sometimes. Let me play devil's advocate for a second, and then I'm going to destroy it. Where people, they're thoughtful and they look down for a moment. But then you look up and you're not slumped over like a cocktail shrimp on the edge of a glass, right? You're not all slumped over like he is. It just doesn't look healthy. I don't know. None of that's good. All right. So is it Atlantic or was the Atlantic? You got some culture stuff for you. The Atlantic has a stupid story out. You guys want to hear about it? Yeah, you do. So apparently everything's racist, anymore. What isn't? I don't know. They had this story that they put out, the racial inequality of sleep. They were trying to say that black people don't sleep as well as white people do. I don't even know what that means. Try new moms. See how well they sleep. So I'm like, okay, well, solve sleep equality by visiting mypillow.com/Dana. Why does everything have to be in, like, measured by race? Why does everything have to be measured by this?
There's an election coming up.
Well, I know, but this is just, it's to the point where it's clownery. I can't take any of this seriously. It's so silly. I mean, everything has to be, well, it's the, you know, sleep is, it can be racist. No one's making people like not sleep. What kind of pillow do you have? Is it the MyPillow 2.0 pillow? Just curious. Is it that? I don't know. I'm just wondering how insane that's going to be. Oh my gosh, I'm still seeing video. There's still video cuts of the Subway sandwich. What in the world? There's another one. CNN is apparently spending over an hour talking about this. It just distracted me from my sleep racist story. That's how much is going on right now. Oh my gosh. Jack Smith. Jack Smith doesn't care. Oh, he's going to, this is going to be like a meme, isn't it? Let me look. This is going to happen. Yeah, look, here we go. Jack Smith. What do they think Trump's going to, I'm sorry. I know I was sitting here telling you about the racial inequality of sleep, but I got distracted because I just saw a video, a new one from CNN, where they're freaking out over Jack Smith going to get a stupid sandwich. What does that mean for anything? He doesn't care. He's not intimidated. No one's trying to intimidate him, you freaks. No one cares. He's trying to intimidate other people. It's a sandwich, for crying out loud. I'm surprised no one noticed that isn't that they got rid of that kid toucher, right? Over there that was selling them sandwiches?
Jared.
Yeah. Wasn't he a convicted kid toucher?
I believe so.
So Jack Smith goes, I mean, I can do that too. Jack Smith goes and gets kid toucher sandwiches. I'm just saying, yep. Just, you know, this is also dumb. Okay, I want to get some other things in here as they keep fawning over normal guy Jack Smith getting a Subway sandwich. Jeez. So goofy. This is so dumb. We had some cultural, we're talking about 2024, we're getting into some foreign policy. We had some cultural issues as well with it. We've been talking about the trans issue in the military. And also this going after tech. There's one headline that I wanted to bring up as it related to the tech issue, because I saw this. It was from the Texan. And I saw this right after I saw the letter of Elizabeth Warren demanding that the SEC investigate Musk because he owns Twitter. So goofy. So X Corp, which Elizabeth Warren didn't have a problem with Elon Musk owning, they're suing a bunch of Dallas John Does for allegedly scraping Twitter data. You remember when they had the weird thing there for like 24 hours where you couldn't like access more than, you know, a certain amount of tweets? So now there's a story that's come out. It says four John Does have allegedly been scraping Twitter for data processing facilities. And that's what Musk said prompted tweet reading limitations. and that their the lawsuit was filed against John Doe's 1 through 4. And I guess they're trying to discover the individual identities. So they said that each of them contracted with businesses in Dallas County that maintain data processing facilities, and they've allegedly been unlawfully scraping data associated specifically with Texas residents. Is that creepy? That's creepy, isn't it? And that the scraping is a form of unauthorized data collection, and it uses automation, and they harvest, it's data harvesting, and they use it through like mobile applications, etc. And they've been placing millions of requests that tax the capacity of servers, impair the experience of actual users, etc. So they've been trying to identify them by their IP addresses, and they saw all of this large volumes of requests reporting, according to the Texan, to Twitter's website that exceeded what any single individual could send, and they were flooding the sign-up pages with automated requests. So that, I mean, it sounds like he was being targeted, obviously. But why just, I got a million questions, like just specifically Texas. It's very interesting. So it's a real, it's going to be kind of a test to see how data scraping is going to be handled in courts, because it's obviously the first lawsuit of its kind from X Corp, and it's going to be the real first test for this. So this is interesting. In 2022, the U.S. Ninth Circuit of Appeals reaffirmed a previous decision that it wasn't illegal to scrape publicly accessible data, but prior to that, they found that it can be considered unjust enrichment under Texas common law. So that's when they introduced the limitations on tweet reading to try to combat that, because apparently they were trying to scrape every tweet ever made in a short period of time. That's what he had said on social. It's so weird that he is like targeted as though he is some big conservative or some big Republican, because he's not. That's how terrifying the concept of just being able to speak freely is to statists. So on this, I have the letter too from Warren that she sent out late yesterday afternoon to the SEC, the investigation into Tesla over Twitter ties. And she was questioning in this the impacts, negative impacts. She acts like she cares about Tesla shareholders. I thought she hated corporations. Didn't she hate corporations? Wait, does she like them now? I'm curious. She said the board doesn't appear to have adequately disclosed concerns about issues to investors, etc. She's trying to tell him how to run his company. Who do you ask? Who watches the Watchmen? Who watches the Watchers? Who investigates the SEC? That's my question. Seems like that's important. Just throwing that out there. Seems like that's kind of important. Also, I want to make sure that we're hitting everything. Pull this up here, because I'm still watching the CNN headlines that were coming in about this. Foreign policy-wise, and, of course, some of the Biden. So we have the Pentagon, who had said earlier they had a sacred obligation to help troops get abortions. This is them. It sounds like they're trying to save money, in a way. It's weird. This whole situation with the way that the White House, the way the Pentagon, the way all of this is dealing with it. And then, of course, NSC John Kirby, he says that we're going to lose talent if you limit access to taxpayer-funded abortion. All of this is about, again, the NDAA stuff, because there have been a block of senior military appointments that have been blocked as a way to push back against this demand on taxpayers. I think that, coupled with the stuff going on in Iran, coupled with the reservists being called, coupled with the Palau stuff, they're going to try to turn up the heat on these Republicans to push them into green lighting this. As all of this stuff, it looks like there's, I don't want to say acceleration, but it looks like there's, an increase in engagement internationally. If you get the newsletter over at Substack, I send all of this stuff out to you regularly. And it's because it's been kind of like a weird news period. And I am totally going to send you this stuff, the reactions to the Jack Smith thing. But you got the NDAA stuff. And you have, I think I sent you out also, the SEC request from Warren into Musk and all this other stuff. So make sure you go, always stay informed, always stay engaged, always stay up to the minute by subscribing over at Substack Chapter and Verse.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And just one more on that. The president had a tweet out last night saying that real wages for the average American worker are higher than they were before the pandemic. That tweet has now been annotated with a message from the platform saying that that is not factual, and that they have some stats and some charts footnoted along with that. Do you welcome that kind of contestation from tech platforms?
We disagree.
Do you have any?
Well, we disagree because we're looking at the data from February of 2021, and what we've seen is that wages have gotten stronger, have increased.
You know, she's making this that. So she went back to all the way back to February. I'm looking at a piece from CNN. I can't believe I'm saying this. We're CNN fact checked that back then.
Yep.
Now she's. They were saying that their figures were wildly inaccurate. Wow. They were saying that it was, and it's still inaccurate. Goodness. Make sure you go to Substack, sign up for Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff coming out there. Now, today in stupidity.
All right, Karine Jean-Pierre just minutes ago. This is what she said.
Here's what we have done. The president respects the Department of Justice, their independence. He has been very steadfast on making sure that the rule of law comes back in this administration, comes back.
Does anyone laugh when you hear her say this administration really cares about the rule of law?
Yeah, know what rule of law looks like.
That to me is extremely stupid.
Yeah, they don't. When you flout the rule of law as much as they do, it's kind of amusing when you hear them describe something that they don't really abide by, nor I don't think they've ever recognized. No. Folks, that does it for us today. Golly, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Find us on Facebook, Official Dana Lash. Like and subscribe, YouTube as well. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.